Hello, my name is Stan, using the Sprint Samsung Moment.
Ah, hi guys, my name is Mickey Mouse, and I like to use my droid.
My name's Phil, and I'm using an AT&T Nexus One with Froyo. Here comes the podcast. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode 13 for Friday, May 21st, 2010. Froyo is here. Android 2.2. Google TV is here. I am here. I'm Phil Nickinson. Mickey Papillon is here. Mickey.
Howdy. Howdy, howdy.
Jerry Hildenbrand is here from West Virginia.
Yeehaw!
And I brought a special guest along because, in all honesty, he knows about as much as everything is what we're going to talk about as we do, right? And that is Renee Ritchie from TipB, a.k.a. the iPhone blog, a.k.a. the enemy.
I am not the enemy. I'm a frenemy. I'm co-opetition. I still have your maps.
Yeah. Dude, you were taking all sorts of crap on your site today for being mean to Google and Android.
The scary thing is I wasn't being mean. I was being equally mean to both Apple and Google. I just said, you know, like, everyone has this mistaken impression, Phil, that it is Godzilla versus King Kong and we're the audience. And none of us are the audience. We're all the terrified villagers running around there. These companies have their own best interests in heart, not ours.
I mean, what's weird is like Apple and Google say the exact same things, but Apple gets a lot more crap for it, I think. And maybe rightfully. I mean, just the tone of it is a little different. Eric Schmidt says it, and it, at least to me, seems a little more cuddly. Or not even Schmidt, but like Vic and just everybody else who was on stage at I.O. But, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But is it just a different attitude? Can Jobs just not get away with it, you think, and everybody else can?
Well, no, I think it goes deeper than that. I mean, it's internet darling syndrome, and Apple has enjoyed it. They've had their turn, so I'm not totally bitter. But you know that sometimes Microsoft and Google make almost identical announcements, and Microsoft gets beaten to a bloody pulp, and Google gets adulation. And you had to deal with both sides, so you see both sides of that. And sometimes it makes absolutely no sense, except that the internet mob loves Google sometimes, and Microsoft not so much.
Well, there you go. Well, let's just dive into it. I mean, it was a hell of a week. I was out in San Francisco at the Moscone West, which coincidentally, isn't that where you're going to go in a couple of weeks for the iPhone?
WWDC.
Yeah, for WWDC. Kind of funny. I actually left a little present for you in the corner, in the southwest corner. You can go pick that up while you're there.
I think janitorial will get that before me, Phil.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So, yeah, so we had Google I.O. Day one was kind of a snoozer. All right, so get this. Day one, they give out droids to like everybody, to 4,000 developers who were there. I roll into the joint with the MiFi, and Google's Wi-Fi was just dead. There was no like dedicated press Wi-Fi. The dedicated Google I/O Wi-Fi was just done, right? So I have a MiFi, which of course runs on Verizon. You know what else runs on Verizon? The Droid. And here's the deal about the droids they gave out. They were all running Android 2.0.1, which, as we all know, is old for the droid at this point. So first you have 4,000 people starting up their droids at the same time, and then they're all downloading. You know, it's only a 15 meg update, it's not a lot, but when you have 4,000 people doing it. So I'm sitting there in the keynote in day one, just dead in the water, couldn't do a thing. I'm sitting next to Ross from Engadget, and he wasn't much better off than I was, but at least he had a Sprint card so he could do a little work. But so many of us are just in there throwing up our hands. But at the same time, it didn't really bother us that much because there was just a whole lot of HTML5 that we either didn't care about or I just flat out didn't understand. Renee, from what you've seen, because you've been in the middle of this whole HTML5, Flash, Ogg Theora, H.264 thing, where do we stand at this point, one versus the other? Who's doing what? And what did you see that came out this week?
Well, I have to caveat that first by saying that my day job used to heavily involve HTML, HTML5, and even Flash development. So it's been a large part of my life for the last 15 years. And it was kind of, Google made it sound like it was going to be a huge HTML5 event. And I guess in a way it was, because Adobe came out and said that Dreamweaver is going to export to HTML5. And a lot of us have been hoping for that because we kind of feared that Adobe would put all their internet eggs in the Flash basket. And we really, I'm calling Adobe AT&T. That's what it feels like in my mind already. But Adobe really makes internet they make content creation tools, and they needed to do this. And Google, this partnership, I mean, if it pushes everyone more towards HTML5 at the same time, that's just great, because it takes a lot of the Flash was originally an animation tool, and because there was a hole in the internet like there was with ActiveX, Flash filled that hole. And now the web technologies are finally catching up so that Flash can go back to doing what it does best, and the rest of the stuff can kind of be handled by web protocols that are lighter, more secure, faster, and just, you know, flat out better in some areas.
Do I care? I mean, how is this going to affect me? How quickly will it affect me? When will it affect me?
You will get more dynamic web pages that crash less often. So that's the only way it'll affect you.
That's a good thing. Actually, I tell you the thing that was really impressive to me was the Sports Illustrated demo they did, right? It was just, I mean, that's the way a magazine needs to look, I think. Anybody, Mickey, did you see it?
Well, I actually did not see it, but what I was going to say is I think Renee brings up a good point, and that's that what I think we're going to see, and where I think this is a really big deal, is that we're going to see Flash going back to what it was originally intended for. And I think that's a pretty important thing to remember, is that HTML5 is really, I think, going to be the way that all the sites are coded in the future. And so I'm glad that Google spent some time focusing on it. But no, I did not see the SI site.
Jerry, do you care about this whole back and forth at all?
I think Mickey hit it right on the head. The future will be HTML5. It's nice to, you know, have Flash as an option for now. Mm-hmm. But, and like Renee said, Flash is a good animation tool. Past that, it's not very good, you know, in all cases. So, you know, I'm happy to see HTML5, you know, especially as, you know, it's across all platforms. That's going to be a good thing. And the SI, you know, the web zine, that's gorgeous. I can't wait.
It looked beautiful. And, you know, I designed newspapers back in the day, and just it translated so well, and the video integration was so seamless. I worry about bandwidth a little bit. obviously bandwidth is growing for everybody, but it's, you know, we're going to need more soon, right?
Yeah, and I live in West Virginia. You know, that's going to kill me, but I'll figure something out.
Well, I have a question for you on that. I always term you as the old newspaper guy for smartphone experts.
Uh-huh.
Is this every newspaper we see now is kind of doing their own thing, whether it's in apps, whether it's on the web. It's kind of like the new frontier, the wild, wild west for bringing magazine and newspaper content to mobile devices and actually, you know, computers. That's obviously healthy, but do you think they have to come to a sort of a standard presentation to go mainstream with this? Or is it fine if everyone looks different?
No, I think it's good that everyone looks different. The problem is nobody's done it well yet. And that was something I was really expecting to come out with the iPad. Remember when we did the live blog, was it December or whenever that was? And just it didn't happen, right? And I was really, really surprised. So that just made me that much more excited at I.O. when SI came out. And because SI is as big on pictures as it is prose. So when they did that, if they can make it work and they can keep it up, see, that's the thing. With content creation, you'll have like a really slick, cool prototype. And then when you try to do it, you know, week in and week out and every day in a newspaper's case, you burn out. Journalism is still really expensive to produce, good journalism. And that's what SI is. And magazines have always been expensive to make. So we'll see. And I hope they can keep it up. I hope they can get it done. And I hope that leads other publishers into doing this sort of thing. So that was kind of day one. Kind of a bummer, you know, no Android news, as we all found out, and fine. But we knew it was coming. In the meantime, there were just a whole bunch of developers we, you know, went and hung out with and talked to and checked out. So that was good. So day two was Froyo. And you should have seen the mad dash into the keynote. And we saw it. It's coming. The SDK is out now. Jerry, do me a favor and explain to me a little bit about what we've seen. The SDK is out, the 2.2 SDK, but that's for developers, right? That's not actually for building ROMs. That's for building software.
Yeah, that's for building the software to run on Froyo. The source code, the Android open source project code, isn't out yet. They've pushed out a little bit of the kernel. I keep refreshing every couple hours and trying to build it, you know, whenever it gets here. But I don't expect that for, you know, at least a week and a half.
Is it the Java or the native SDK, Jerry?
It's the SDK is the, you know, the Java backend. The okay. NDK, I do believe that it's been released. I haven't done anything about downloading it, looking at it or anything, but I heard that it was out as well. I could be wrong. It's just what I heard.
So we're not going to have it on any devices for at least a few weeks, probably, right? You got to get the right. device stuff
nothing,
out first.
Nothing more than that little trick everybody's doing, you know, porting out the SDK ROM onto their devices, which it's fun to play with, but we're not going to see anything usable for at least a couple weeks.
Gotcha. So the devices we're going to see first probably will be the N1, the Nexus One, and that makes sense because it's Google's development phone at this point. And then the Droid is the other one we're hearing, and that makes sense too. I mean, it's a stock Google phone, right? Verizon notwithstanding. Now, that's kind of the big question mark, is how quickly the carriers will get stuff pushed out. The Droid yep. may be quicker, and if they're smart, Verizon would have gone to Google and be like, look, give us this now. We gotta crank this thing out.
Well, I'm sure Moto has had the 2.2 source code, you know, as it's being built. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they built their 2.1 version with 2.2 in mind. So it shouldn't take them very long to, you know, to bump it up. It's just, it's a lot of stuff, but it's still just a 0.1 release. It shouldn't take a long time.
Yeah, it's not huge. Let's go over some of the bullet points of what we have. And a lot of this we already knew going into it. So the first bullet point we have is speed. We're talking, what, 4 and 5 times faster. They did a demo of literally, it was a little Android guy, you know, doing laps in a pool. So they had a Nexus One running 2.1, Eclair, and then next to it they had Froyo. And then next to that they had the same app running on an iPad. And literally, Froyo did laps around everybody else, like 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, you know, lapped them. And it was just fast as hell and really good to see.
I have a nerdy question about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe Jerry's the right one for this. Now, they're doing that with JIT, which is, my understanding, is a just-in-time compiler, but I don't understand how that is delivering the speed boost we're seeing.
Well, JIT is changing the code that the Dalvik virtual machine reads. JIT actually recompiles it into machine code, and Dalvik can actually read the code 500% faster.
Okay, but it's doing that just in time?
Yes, it's doing it as it's ran.
Okay, so there's no overhead that's counteracting any of that speed boost, or just the speed boost is so phenomenal that the whatever overhead in decoding it, in compiling it, is just...
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little bit of overhead, but yeah, there's such a vast speed improvement that you don't notice the overhead. It's happening, you know, real time, so to speak.
So is that then ironic, Phil, that the just-in-time compiler is running circles around a device where Apple is busy forbidding compilers and code interpreters of any kind?
Sweet, sweet irony. You know, I mean, I'm an end user more than, you know, especially when it comes to Linux. You know, I don't know Linux for anything. So I just want it to work, and I want it to work fast. And it looks like we're certainly seeing that now. And Google's always been about optimization, right? When you look at Chrome, it's about making the best and fastest browser they can. And they're kind of really doing the same thing with Android at this point, and they were really pushing that. So you have a faster OS for one. App data backup. Jerry, you can probably explain that a little more now. When you switch phones, if you hard reset, it would back up your apps, but it wouldn't back up the data within the apps. Like, pick an app, for example.
Well, a notepad that you've saved notes. Yeah, before it wouldn't back up the user data. Now, from what I'm reading, of course, without any hands-on, I'm just taking what Google's saying. Looks like it should save all the user data as well.
So that's good. Better enterprise support, Exchange support. When you hear enterprise, you think business. When you think business, you think Exchange, Microsoft Exchange. And that's kind of been a big sticking point for a long time, right? I haven't used Exchange in 4 and 5 months, so I'm a little behind in that respect. But better security policies, that's, you know, what IT departments, that's, are you kidding? That's the only thing they worry about, right?
And hardware encryption, those are their two big sticking points usually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So better Exchange for business. What else do we have? Push services. Okay. So you can now have, we all hear push and we're usually thinking push notifications. But now you can have something push out that actually triggers what they call an Android intent. you could have a text message, say, that gets pushed and then triggers the camera to do something. Now, obviously, that could be a little scary, right? You don't want something triggering something without your knowledge. But they have security in place for this stuff. It's not going to, you know, spy on you in the middle of the night. Although I can't promise anything about the droid. Because I think it's just always watching you. Tethering and mobile hotspot are built in now. You know, Mickey, you've been tethering for a long time. So is this a big deal for you? And actually, it's been built into, like, CyanogenMod's had it built into his ROM forever now. So it's kind of not new to me. But what are the kind of the sticking points? I mean, you're not expecting to see this on every phone immediately, right?
No, definitely not. I think if you want to have this, you're going to have a device that can take advantage of being sold unlocked, i.e. the Nexus. I think some of the other devices that are being sold directly from manufacturers will be able to see these items too, but obviously when one of these ROMs goes to the carriers for certification, right, before they throw it on their device, think about someone like Sprint and the Evo. obviously, they're not going to allow that because they've got their own little deal working right now, or they'll either do that or they'll integrate their service for, you know, the $30 into this particular feature. But anything that comes out on a carrier, I would expect to see this either stripped out or only enabled through specific additional plan add-ons.
So help me, if you get tethering on AT&T before the iPhone, I'm going to cry.
Well, I think Phil's going to have it once he gets his 2.2 on the Nexus, right? I mean,
I already have it with CyanogenMod. In fact, day one of the keynote, that was like the 5 minutes I had data was when I tethered the Nexus One over AT&T in there because nobody else had AT&T.
Well, a lot of it's going to depend too on how the tethering works. If it's if it's just pulling in data. And then the phone itself translates it and sends it out to your laptop or netbook or whatever, then it's going to be hard for AT&T to put the NICs on it. If it actually, you know, if it acts as a gateway where your laptop connects to AT&T servers, AT&T can say no with just the push of a button. That's what Sprint does, and that's what Verizon does with Sense. Right. You know, tethering's built into Sense, but the carrier can lock it down because it's, you know, the way it connects. Like the tethering that you're using on CyanogenMod and that I use, that's different. The carrier can't tell what kind of data it is because the phone itself is doing the connecting.
Right. The old PDA net secret.
Exactly.
Exactly. Some of the stuff we actually have bulleted, we got to be careful with because they actually showed us stuff that was beyond Froyo. And I want to say the web app access to the camera and the geolocation and the accelerometer was actually next gen stuff and not Froyo. Anybody, am I wrong on that? I'm trying to remember.
I believe you're right.
But that's coming. So it was really cool they showed us new stuff. Renee, you can probably explain this V8 browser stuff more. And they talked a lot about that on day one. I mean, what is this stuff and why do I care?
Phil, you don't care about any of this stuff. You just want your browser to work and work blisteringly fast.
Exactly. But no,
there's a bunch of elves working really hard in the background to deliver you that speed. And this is V8 is so they're all based on WebKit. Well, most mobile browsers are WebKit, like Mobile Safari on Apple, even Palm's browser. Rim made a big deal. They're getting a WebKit browser for BlackBerry. So Chrome Lite or whatever the Android browser is a WebKit browser, but everyone kind of has their own JavaScript engine. And a lot of the times when a page is just chugging away, it's all the JavaScript, like all that horrendous stuff people put on their Facebook page. And Apple has their Nitro engine. Mozilla has their Trace Monkey, unless they've changed the name. And Google has V8. So this is their, and they're always leapfrogging each other. That's why I laugh whenever Apple or Google or anyone says how much faster their JavaScript is, because we win either way because they're always trying to lap each other and they're pushing it again and again. And this is Google's, you know, latest attempt at showing off their fancy new hot rod.
We got that. The big 800-pound gorilla, Flash. Flash is coming. Not immediately just yet. We got to wait, but it's coming. We've seen it again. You know, and I've played with it back in February, and it worked fine. And it looked like it was working better now. So they're getting better and better at that. Yes.
Again, I don't know how true it is, but I was told that Flash is available on the Android market as of today, as long as you are running SDK 8.
Right. If you have 2.2, it's good to go.
Yep.
So I take that back. Yeah. So we've got that. And look, all right, we got an email like, so Phil, now that Froyo's official, how do you feel about Flash? And I'm fine with Flash. I never had a problem with Flash. I got tired of talking about Flash every week, and I don't think anybody can blame me there. As long as it works and it doesn't totally bog down your phone and kill your battery, I'm all for it. I'm all for being able to do more. I don't really care about this whole Flash is evil argument. I just don't. I don't have enough time in the day. Just give me something. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, then let's get rid of it. But I'm not going to, you know, sit here and argue about it before we even have it. Stop it.
I love that.
That was for you, Renee.
I love the stop it.
The Android market is getting a bunch of upgrades. Probably the biggest one for me is the web interface. You're going to be able to search, and we just saw it kind of updated a little bit last week, so you can search for apps better, but you can search and install from the web interface. Now, that's going to do some interesting things for sites like AppBrain, I think, and I briefly spoke with them yesterday. They think they're still going to have a business, and that'll be fine, but... So you can search from the web. And some of the next-gen stuff they showed us there, again, was streaming music from your desktop to your phone and also buying music. Now, that was just a prototype thing. That was just total proof of concept. Here's how you can buy music, you know, from the Android market and have it pushed directly to your phone immediately. And it was very fast, and it worked perfect. So I would like to see that today. I mean, actually, I bet we see that by the end of the year. Would not surprise me at all.
I hope so.
App updating. That was another big one that we all wanted. You can now update all the apps that need to be updated at one time. I know the iPhone has that, and it works nicely. And you can also set apps to automatically update, so you don't have to touch a thing. I'm still a little iffy on that, because sometimes you'll have stuff that gets updated and you don't want it to, like, the browser,
Dolphin
browser, yeah, the Dolphin browser took away the YouTube downloads. So, but if you didn't,
or 1.5 gigs of Navigon when you're not expecting it,
are you still waiting on that?
One day there was a glitch in the iTunes store over the course of a weekend where it wouldn't register that you'd got the update, and I had the misfortune of trying the Navigon update during that period, so it was just downloading 1.5 gigs over and over and over again.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So really good stuff in the marketplace. Streaming music, we talked about that. So, I mean, Mickey, are you excited about Froyo? Is it everything you thought it would be?
I'm very excited. In fact, I'm just waiting to figure out what my next chess move is going to be and what the next device is going to be for me. So I should probably fess up. Don't you think this is a good time to fess up?
No.
I think this is a good time to fess up. No, you don't?
No, go ahead.
I need to fess up, because I can't handle the direct messages anymore telling me to
read
my phone.
He's been living a lie.
I've been living a lie. Well, it's only been a couple of weeks. Yeah. I ended up selling the Nexus One. I'm currently looking for another Nexus One. I'm looking for a GSM version, the AT&T specifically. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do, if it's going to be the Nexus or if I'm going to wait until the next one. So still trying to figure it out, but I do not have an Android phone right now, and I feel naked.
Thanks for that visual. I appreciate that.
Can we fix that in post, Phil?
Oh, man. Well, that, I guess, should kind of lead us into, I don't want to talk about Google TV yet. Let's talk about the Evo. I know everybody's excited about the Evo, so let's talk about the Evo for a minute. They announced during day two in the keynote that, oh, by the way, all 4,000 of you here are getting Evo 4Gs. And this comes hot on the heels of a select few actually having had review units from Sprint. So the rest of us in the press are like, hey, that's great. And then sure enough, we got them too. So I'm not keeping the one we got. Just ethically, I'm not. So that'll be the one we're giving away in the contest. And if you haven't entered the contest, go do it. Because you still have a little more. You got about a week and a half to enter to win an Evo 4G.
Do it now.
Yeah. I don't know, Mickey. Are you going to... The Evo is not tempting you at all?
The Evo is certainly is. In fact, that's I'm actually having a problem right now where trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Like I said, Sprint is the big problem with that one for me. And I'm such a big proponent of don't get a phone just because it's a good phone, because you like the hardware, if the service doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I've been testing multiple different Sprint phones recently, and I got to tell you, it is, you know, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work at my house. It doesn't work at my office. It's bad. So I've got an issue that I've got to resolve there. So unfortunately for me, it's not going to work. But that doesn't mean that it isn't an awesome phone by any means.
All right. Well, I promised an unboxing, and we were talking in the chat room before the podcast started that I just hate unboxings. I'm not a big fan at all because, A, we already knew it was in the box because we leaked that weeks ago. And B, it's always the same stuff now. It's headphones, it's a battery, it might be a case, it's, you know, screen protectors, whatever. So I don't really care what's in the box. I want to get stuff out of the box. So anyway, I'm going to turn on the video now and everybody can watch an unboxing of the Evo 4G. Are we ready? Ready to
Gadget
go?
Gadget porn, go!
Yay, video. Yeah, there you go.
Wait, you're not wearing a giant watch. This is not a Smartphone Express unboxing.
I'm also not wearing pants, so that makes it new.
Just as long as you don't have an extra pinky finger.
No Google sock?
No Google sock, although I have the Google sock sitting next to me. How cool is that? So there you go. There's your Evo unboxing. Everybody drink Evo.
Phil, that's a giant phone.
It's a huge phone, man. 4.3 inches. My mom came over today and was, I think she's going to buy one. She was using it for a couple hours and just fell in love with it.
That's a lot of phone to love.
It's a whole lot of phone. So there's your unboxing. Merry Christmas, everybody. You're welcome. I'm turning the video off now.
So side by side with the HD2, is it basically the same chassis?
It's exactly the same thing. It's a tad thicker okay. Just because of the WiMAX radio in it. But otherwise, it's the exact same thing. It's the same same screen, exact same screen, just LCD, TFT. So that's that. That's the Evo. You guys got any more questions about the Evo while I have it? We'll have a review. I've got to find time to do it this weekend.
There's only one of you, Phil.
Yeah, and I don't have 4G. I've got to go find a 4G town real quick this weekend. So,
I think Texas is your closest.
No, Atlanta's the closest.
Oh, Atlanta. There you go.
It's a 45-minute flight. We'll talk about that. All right, let's talk Google TV real quick. And again, this is something Renee has a little bit of experience about because you're a big Apple TV fan, right? And Mickey, did you use TVs too?
I still use the Apple TV. In fact, I use it actually fairly regularly. It's kind of lame because it doesn't do a lot of stuff, but it's really cool with the stuff that it does.
Yeah.
So the
what
deal
it does,
with
it does really well.
Mm-hmm. The deal with Google TV is it will be built into some Sony TVs starting this fall, and they reiterated that several times as kind of vaporware this maybe this week. It's coming, and it's coming this fall. So you have Sony making it into TVs, and then you have Logitech making set-top boxes, right? And Intel's processing the whole thing. And it's pretty basic. You tell it to search, and it searches, say you search for Law & Order, it will return, well, here's when it's on NBC and give you your little guide like you're used to, and here's where it is online that you can go watch it. And then you just click it, and it pops up just like you're watching TV. And it was stupidly easy, and I pray to God this comes. I want it. I need a TV now. That said, Dish Network is kind of partnering with them. I worry that there were no cable companies mentioned at all.
That's because they were the target, Phil, not the partner.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. So we'll see. Hulu was also kind of shown on the prototype parts of it, but Hulu, you're going to have the same problems that we have with Hulu and mobile browsers now. Hulu can shut itself off to everybody, just like it's doing with Skyfire. Yep. So there you
and
go.
The Flash on the Android.
And Flash on Android. Well, and Flash is built into all this stuff, too. Flash is part of Google TV. So any website that's currently built, it's fine, will work just fine. Although they are now working with website developers to, quote, optimize them. And that was a little weird. They're like, yeah, your site will work just fine, but we're going to work with you to optimize it.
Okay. Well, some of them are still based on click events, mouse click events, which isn't ideal for some interface. So they're going to have to recode them.
There you go. So that's that. And then immediately after the keynote, I went to a big press briefing, more on Google TV, and the CEO of Sony was there, CEO of Best Buy, who will be selling the Sony TVs, the CEO of Dish Network, the CEO of Adobe was there, and Eric Schmidt was there. And so press was just asking them all questions, and not too much more really about the Google TV stuff. We'll just kind of have to watch it as it comes out. And then immediately after that was the Android press briefing. And that was really interesting. So we had Andy Rubin, who is the father of Android, right? He started Android.
And Sidekick.
And Sidekick, yeah. He's the old... He worked for Danger back in the day, right? And then we had Hiroshi, and I'm sorry, I don't know Hiroshi's last name. And Mario and Vic and just all the big Android guys are up there, and we got to ask them all sorts of questions, and I videoed the whole thing. I've got probably about half the videos up right now, the really pertinent stuff, and we got some really good lines out of this. Andy Rubin talked about the fragmentation issue, and he said, look, don't call it fragmentation, call it legacy. And at the time, I mean, that kind of registered with me. I mean, it's a good buzzword. Is it really true? Mickey, what do you think? I mean, is fragmentation just a harsh word and they don't like it? So, call it legacy. It sounds nicer.
I think so. And they're just trying to make it, you know, a softer approach to the idea that they've got all these different devices, you know, that will, some of them, I should say, eventually get upgraded to the newest software. But obviously we talked about or heard about the fact that the G1 isn't getting it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's fragmented away from all these new devices. And they said everything, you know, in 2010 will get Froyo, but then you've got all these other devices that are stuck on, you know, Donut or Eclair. And it's like, okay, you can call it whatever you want, but I'll tell you this, you know, you've got multiple different operating system versions on the hardware that's all supposed to be running the same stuff. And I understand why it doesn't work, and you can call it legacy. That's fine, but it's still a fragmented market on the Android side.
What do you think, Jerry?
Exactly. It's you know, fragmentation. That's what it is. They can paint whatever label they want on it, and you know, I can't blame them. You know, they want to try to make themselves, you know, look a little bit better in the eyes of the public, whatever. But it's something you're always going to have, and it's not really Google's fault when you start putting carriers and manufacturers into the mix. You're going to have that with open source software. We see it with Linux. Anybody that uses Linux, it's the nature of the beast. You're always going to have it.
Well, and I put up another video today of Vic explaining just that. He really came to, and literally he said it, you know, I'm going to come to the carrier's defense, and here's the stuff they have to worry about and deal with when it comes to upgrading ROMs on all their phones. Now, Renee, this is something you're going to have to start dealing with iPhone 4, right? The original iPhone's not getting it, obviously. And the 3G's not getting all the features. You're getting some of them.
All right, so there's two things, and this is kind of what's beginning to worry me about Google. Absolutely, there is legacy, but legacy is a separate issue from fragmentation. And the iPhone has always had a legacy issue, and Apple has handled that through what they try to make it an elegant degradation of features. So, like, the original iPhone didn't have 3G, didn't have GPS, but they created core location. So the app would try GPS. If it wasn't there, it would fall back on Wi-Fi triangulation or on cell tower triangulation. So there was a service that would have different levels of features in it. And that's the same, like the camera, whether it has video or not, it tells you whether it has that. And all this stuff is never supposed to be seen by the user. It's supposed to be the developer's problem to handle. And that is legacy, and Google's going to have that. Everyone's going to have that. That's fine. But Google is not – they're starting to not be honest about their OS, and that's what scares me, because Google is open. They chose an Apache license. Jerry's absolutely right. With an Apache license, like we've seen in China, you can take Android, do whatever you want with it. That's the beauty of Android. I would prefer Google to come up and say, look, we're giving you freedom, we're giving you options, and the price of options and freedom is fragmentation. When I was at GDC, the big gaming developers conference, developers were saying it was incredibly frustrating for them that Motorola made the Droid, whatever it is, 47 pixels higher than the Nexus One. That's not legacy, that's fragmentation. They're both new devices, but that's the price you pay for having a wonderfully open system like Android. And I'd really just... Google can get away with saying that. That's absolutely a card they can play, and no one will think badly about them, because you are giving such a wide array of wonderful devices and such freedom to carriers and partners and whatnot.
I really like the way you explain that, especially with the, you know, because that's just a ridiculous screen size. In fact, Jerry and I were talking about that last week when he was writing his wallpaper post. Yeah. What drives me nuts is, look, I understand there are a whole lot of G1 owners out there, and it's an important phone. It was the birth of Android. But, you know, Froyo isn't going to, you know, it's not designed to run on the G1, and it's not coming to the G1, at least officially. There will be ROMs out there that have it, and that's great. But you know, T-Mobile's not going to release one, so don't ask for it. I wish we could get, you know, immediately a list of here phones that are able to get it, here phones that are maybe going to get it. And Microsoft tried this. It tried it with 6.5, and that list is still out there and still aging, and phones are not being updated. So there are issues with doing that.
Well, I mean, Mickey can speak to this too, but the reason Apple, like iPhone 2G owners are not getting 4.0, and Apple just says there's hardware issues. We can't make it run well, and Apple would rather never release something than let it run poorly. Like, there's no video on the 3G because it would be 15 frames per second, and that's untenable to Steve Jobs. But Apple forces carriers to allow updates. The carrier's best interest is not to give you an OS update. It's to force you to buy a new phone. So Apple plows through that and says, no, we're handling that. You're not involved. You sell the phone, make your money, and shut up. But for Google, it's a different play because they're letting HTC make skins. They're letting carriers release. Like, Droid is a Verizon trademark. It's not an Android trademark. And they now have to exert that influence to force the carriers to give you updates, because it was up to the carriers. And Mickey can tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think we'd ever get updates.
Well, exactly. It's any of these devices is going to be capable of an upgrade, depending on, you know, the length of time between when it was released and when the update comes out. And with the frequency of what's happening on the Android side, it doesn't make any sense that most of the devices over the past 12 months could not get to 2. I absolutely think it could. Now, you talk about, you know, on the iPhone hardware, I mean, a device that is, you know, essentially half as powerful as what's out there right now. And it totally makes sense why they're saying, you know, first gen and second gen, you're going to have limited or no features, you know, based off of this. And I think everyone is okay with that. I mean, we're now 3 years in after that first device was sold. I mean, we're talking less than, you know, what is it, 18 months since the first G1 was sold. Half that time, I mean, you kind of would hope that maybe not the first, you know, G1, but stuff from last year, you'd hope that it would be able to get this. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if the carriers had their way, they would say, you buy it, this is what you get. Maybe you get a maintenance release to fix some bugs with it, but we're not giving you additional features. So, you know, buy a new phone if you want something better.
Phones have, and I forget who I talked to this week. I wish I remembered. He said there was somebody whose neighbor owns like 3 and 4 AT&T stores, and the guy was telling him basically top tier like Android phones have a shelf life of like an actual prime buying time of like 6 to 8 weeks, and after that it just drops way the hell off. The iPhone is the same way, only it doesn't it plateaus, right? I mean, you have your initial just out of the gate sales, and then it levels off, whereas everything else just kind of falls out. So yeah, the lifespan of phones is so short compared to the technological lifespan of a phone is so short compared to the contract you signed to buy the thing cheaply. And that's where I really wished that Google's distribution model had worked, or at least worked enough to they could have kept it up. It was immediately after the podcast last week, we found out that they were shutting down the web store, and the Nexus One supposedly will be sold like in carrier stores. Not entirely sure if that still means the Sprint and Verizon are going to get it or not. We'll see. And to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if we just didn't see the Nexus One show up in stores and they just wait for the next thing. But then they talked a little bit about that this week too, during the press briefing. And I'm trying to figure out, and I think this goes back to what Renee was saying, is everybody's trying to find some angle to just beat the hell out of Google. And they're like, look, we tried it. It didn't work. We're changing tactics, and we're just going to go back and work with our partners and our carriers and do the best job there that we can, and we're going to move on. And people just kept wanting to dig at them, and I'm not quite sure what they wanted to have. Were they trying to make Andy Rubin cry? Were they? I mean, it didn't work. They stopped doing it. They're moving forward. That's it. They're not going to, you know, gnash their teeth over it. Anybody?
It's. I don't think it's ever going to work in America. If they had launched the Nexus One on O2 or T-Mobile in Germany, I bet they would have had a lot proportionally more sales, because people in Europe are used to buying unlocked, unsubsidized phones. That's just a new idea here in the States. And when you do it and combine it with the fact that the users don't get to actually handle the phone, try it and see if they like it, you know, maybe it was destined to fail. I'm sure they're smarter than I am and they had a reason to try it, but I'm not real surprised that it didn't sell as well as a lot of people thought it would.
What about you, Renee? Because you're in the whole lockdown Apple store. Oh, you know, I went to an Apple store for the first time ever while I was there.
I used Google for the first time ever. No, that's
there you go. There were bright lights that kept flashing at me, and I got a little dizzy and lightheaded. And no, it was very nice. I mean, coming.
Phil, I had a question.
Yeah.
I mentioned this when it first came out because this never passed the smell test for me because Google didn't try to sell this phone. They put up a web page that you had to have a Gmail address to use, a Google checkout to buy. You had to be an Android fan to really know about it. You had to like visit places like Android Central or maybe, you know, click a link of interest. But you had to be a really hooked in geek kind of person to buy it. And that is not a mass market. They put up a Super Bowl ad and they could have made that a Nexus One, you know, buy it now and gotten a lot of people to come look at it. But this was, to me, this was kind of like the warning shot that Google shot saying, you know, if you people don't start taking Android seriously, if the carriers don't take it seriously, if the competitors don't take it seriously, we are big and strong and powerful enough to do this kind of a store well if we choose to.
Or, Mickey, do you think they just tried it just to try it and to see what carrier reaction would be?
I don't even know if it was that. I think it was just they put together a piece of hardware and it was created by engineers and there was some polish on it, but then they just totally forgot about the marketing arm. I mean, think about google.com/phone. It's not like a super flashy informative site, right? I mean, it's like, oh, look, there's one for T-Mobile and there's one for AT&T. And now it mentions what's going on with Sprint and Verizon. But I mean, yeah, there was other than, well, they did online marketing, right? I mean, you could find Nexus One ads on various websites, but you're right. I mean, what did we see in the Super Bowl? Was it the Desire that we saw in an ad? I mean,
No. It wasn't even that. It was something almost. Search. Yeah, it was search. It was totally unrelated to Android.
It was that life story thing, wasn't it?
And it was an old ad.
Paris. Yeah, that's right. The Paris story. So I don't know. I agree with Renee that I don't feel like they really put the effort into it that they could have. And I think it was more just a, hey, we've got this great phone. Let's just see how many people we can get to buy it.
Are we going to be feeling good about ourselves? And when's WWDC, Renee?
It is, I believe it kicks off the 7th of June.
So in 3 weeks, are we still going to be feeling so good about Froyo, do you guys think? And we're talking hardware, I guess, versus software. But the whole experience, I think, still stands. Are we just going to look at it in envy? Jerry, what do you think?
Steve Jobs has more than than we know about. I'm positive of that. He always does. I'm excited to see what Apple's bringing to the table. I'm not one of these people that'll say, you know, bad talk Apple or anything. They make a great device. You know, everything has its own specialty of use. You can pick up an iPhone, use it, works great. You want to tinker with things, Android works a little better. But I'm going to reserve judgment until I actually see what they bring out.
Mickey?
I think Froyo is going to really have to justify itself come 2.5 weeks here. It's got the spotlight right now. Everyone's excited about it. And on June 7th, everyone's going to be excited about whatever it is that we see there. Likely new hardware, likely some, you know, 4.0 on that new hardware doing things that we don't even know yet. And I think after that, Froyo is going to be the little kid, you know, in the corner going, you know, hey, I'm still here, guys, you know, and it's really going to have to kind of prove itself and it's going to have to vie for the attention. You know, the true Android fans are going to continue to be excited about it. If Google's smart, they're going to get this out next week or the week after. I know they said 2 weeks. But we'll see when it eventually comes to the Nexus, but into other devices as soon as they possibly can. But I do feel like I don't know that we're going to be disappointed or we're going to feel bad about 2.2, but I think there's going to be a lot of overshadowing to it. And Renee is just sitting over there smiling right now. I know he is.
Well, and Renee, you've been using the 4.0 beta since it came out.
Yep. Yes, sir.
From what you've seen this week, I mean, are we on more of a level playing field at the moment? You think that's going to change in 3 weeks?
Yeah, actually, I'm not smiling to the extent that I think that 2.2 is fairly amazing from Google. It's no secret. I thought last year Palm took everyone else to school. What they managed to achieve with their team in their time was kind of an embarrassment to the other phone makers, because they, you know, like Google, Apple, Microsoft, they're so big and Palm had so little, and yet WebOS did really, really well last year. And this year, it looks like everyone's, you know, upping their game. I thought 2.2 was really solid. But, you know, we talked about this on iPhone Live with Dieter. When the iPhone first came out, it was like new, fresh, exciting. The Palm Pre, the same thing. Android started hitting its stride last year. And this year, it feels to me like we're at the point in the market where everything is maturing. Everyone is filling in gaps. And we're not getting those big wow moments right now. Right now is sort of like everyone is entrenching themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think
they're just digging in. That's it. Yeah.
They dig it. So, well, like, it's no secret. People thought iPhone 3.0 was just, you know, Apple added cut and paste. I mean, it's a joke at a certain extent. Google and Apple have completely different philosophies as a company. I would argue even more than Microsoft and Apple. Google will do 100 things at 85%. Apple will do 85% and leave you incredibly frustrated that they just didn't even look at the other 15. And, because like, no one can do everything. People complain that this phone is missing that, or it's not as good as this. But we know the reality is everything is there's an economy cost to everything. You can do A or B or a little bit of each. No one can do everything. And Steve Jobs is going to come out. We've seen the phone. Gizmodo had it. Some dude in Vietnam had it. Apple had some big drunken party and left all their phones unlocked for some reason this year. But we're going to get a 960 by 640 screen. Steve Jobs is a big calligraphy fan. He did a lot of stuff to create desktop printing with laser printers to make good-looking fonts on computers. And for some reason, he's decided he wants a 300 DPI screen on an iPhone, and he's going to give it to us, Phil. And in one sense, that's ridiculous. But in another sense, I mean, that's kind of awesome. And that's going to be what people are responding to next. And so far, Android has been really smart. Palm's been putting out their phones roughly the same time as an iPhone and getting buried. But the Droid and Nexus One and stuff, they've been coming out when iPhone owners are getting bored. And that's why they've been doing – well, that's part of the reason they've been doing really well. So it's not exactly 2.2 that I think is going to be really interesting, but whatever Google puts out, you know, November, December, January timeframe.
I don't know where I stand. I'm pretty excited about the speed increases in Froyo. I'm pretty excited about Flash, assuming it works and doesn't kill battery, and battery is a big question. Yeah, I'm real curious to see what we get hardware-wise in 3 weeks and how that meshes up with iPhone 4.0 and where we go from there. I don't know. Are we forgetting anything? It's a whole lot of Froyo and a whole lot of I.O. pretty quickly. We can talk about some of the other stuff we saw at I.O. The OnStar app. I'm getting more excited about the Chevy Volt, you know, every time I get to see it. The OnStar app now works with Google Maps, and you can send directions from the phone to the car. So, say you need your wife to pick you up, you shoot her directions to where you are, and she can come get you. Now, they did tell me it won't work the other way around, so your wife can't spy on you and know where you are. I asked.
Not what they told the wife.
Yeah. The Android Kindle app. I got to play with that, and it worked really well. I'm still not sold about reading books on a phone. I think the iPad is much, much better suited for that. But the option's going to be there, and that's good. The Great Wall of Android. You guys watched that video? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a whole lot of Android phones that, you know, we'll never see in the U.S. or whatever. But it was good to see them, including a couple mids. What else? The X-Plane Flight Simulator. That was just awesome.
Very
nice.
And
they're waiting. One of the things they showed us coming up in the Android market is the ability to target your app for a specific device and not just for a specific OS. And that's what they're waiting for the X-Plane flight simulator. You know, just because, you know, like the Aeris is getting 2.1, right? But they don't want the Aeris, you know, this app won't run on the Aeris. It'll run on the Nexus One, and that's kind of the low end at this point. So they were.
Well, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's absolutely a good thing.
Yeah, I that's the first I've heard of that. That's a great thing. That
yes,
save a lot of complaints and criticism, and then, you know, we don't have to try to go around and explain everything to everybody if there's just a set policy and it's done that way.
Exactly, and it'll make developers happy too, because you won't get just all the crappy comments and
yep,
low ratings, right? So we had those. I'm trying to remember what else I saw. I've got a couple more videos I haven't gotten up yet. Gameloft was there. And Gameloft has started trying to sell ads from their website. We'll see how that works, I think. They've got 10 apps, 8 or 10 apps, and I don't know. People had issues with it, so we'll see. Should we give stuff away? I promise to give stuff away.
Let's do it.
You know, all the people who disappeared after the Evo quote unboxing.
Suckers.
Right, I gotta do it right. All right, so I've got the official Google I/O shirt you guys saw in that post.
If you want the shirt, Phil will personally scan it for you.
Actually, I was gonna wear it first if somebody really wanted me to. Yeah, not so much. All right, so that's the giveaway. And if you weren't listening live, you missed out. If you ducked out after the Evo unboxing, again. Could have had socks. Could have had Google socks. What else? Man,
let's talk about the trash talking, Phil.
You want to talk about the trash talking?
I have a snippet of conversation about the trash talking.
Bring it.
All right. So, what people don't know, because, you know, I work for Tippy, is that in Renee's soul, he is much more predisposed towards the Google model than the Apple model. It's just the way I naturally believe that these things should work. I just got lazy in my old age, and I prefer Apple doing everything for me now. But, you know, the young rebel Renee is very googly. so I was kind of disappointed again, like I said earlier, with the way Google is handling their PR. So they basically said they created Android so that one man, one company, one network wouldn't control the future of mobile. And the only problem with this is, no, they didn't. They had Android before the iPhone. It was the HTC Snap. It was supposed to be like a BlackBerry competitor. And that's way before there was an iPhone from Steve Jobs running on AT&T, and way, way before there was an App Store, which, excuse me, isn't even the internet, because you got a Safari browser as in addition to the App Store. And again, I think Google does much better when they just say, this is how we roll. And they don't do these weird things where they kind of, like, I know all companies, I have this theory that all companies, when they get sufficiently large, are indistinguishable from evil. But when you start doing things that weird, I start to worry just about where the corporate culture is going, Phil.
You feel better now?
I do. I want my friendly, kindly, cuddly Google back. Thank you.
I mean, make no mistake about it. Their goal, I think, is world domination. They might be a little nicer about it, but they want to be everywhere. And I think this TV thing, I mean, good God, if the TV thing takes off, even if it's only half as good as they think it is, I mean, how many eyeballs is that still? How many people are in America? 260 million, whatever? You know, even if you only get one eyeball, that's still 261, that's still 130 million, that's a lot of eyeballs.
Well, right. That's the thing. Like, all these companies are in business to make money, and Google has a very well-stated philosophy that they want to own what they can own, and what they can't own, they want to fracture. So, mm-hmm. like, with search is not open source. AdSense is not open source. AdWords are not open source. Google owns that market. In markets like smartphones that they don't own, they're very happy to open source to stuff because it breaks whatever hold other companies have on it. And, you know, Apple's the same way about the iPhone, because to them, that's the crown jewel. And, you know, Microsoft has their Office products and stuff. Every company has this stuff. So I just find it odd when you start to try to say that your philosophy is different than what it kind of obviously is.
Yeah. We're not evil, but we are. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
All your eyeballs, Ken, has been ours.
Well, I mean, but I gave myself over to the Goog, right? I mean, that's it, and it worked for me, and I accepted that. Does that make it less unright? I don't know. How's that?
I'm a huge Google user too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, for Google, I sacrifice privacy, and for Apple, I sacrifice control. I have almost nothing left, Phil.
I'm just really tired of the whole kind of back and forth, and I still think that Google was just nicer about how they did it. Like, it seemed more playful instead of, like, the Jobs snideness or Phil Schiller just lying through his teeth. Like he does. You know, little zingers here and there. That's cute. I don't know why. It just doesn't bother me as much when Google does it as when Apple does it.
It bothers me more because I expect it from Apple.
Well, yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, right. I would kind of rather and I think kind of the not lower guys, but like, you know, obviously it's written into a script, right? So I think that's part of it. I think they're doing some of it just for the response. But like during the press briefing, I mean, these seem like genuinely nice guys who just want to do a really good job and make the best, you know, just platform they can. You know, Apple to me seems like they want to crush you. Am I wrong?
You know, they want to make beautiful things and crush you into believing that, yes, that is a thing that you should have. But that's the thing, though. It's like the Apple wants the phone to be the special thing and the services to be commodity, where Google wants the phones to be commodity and the services to be the special thing.
Right. And they talked a little bit about the whole embedded OS part of it and how we're seeing Android just on microwaves and everything. And, you know, the 60,000 devices activated every day. It's nuts and it's growing, and you know, but look at the way Apple responded to the whole Q1 numbers that came out, right? And Apple just said, well, yeah, you're not taking into account the 85 billion people who are already blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, because we're talking Q1.
And why'd they even respond? That was a scary thing.
Yeah,
to me,
that was the weirdest thing. I don't know. I mean, Renee and I are going to hug.
Q1 numbers in the U.S. at a time when the Droid was released. I mean, you can just go, of course, in the next sentence, please.
Right, exactly. I mean, come find us in June. I don't know. Renee and I are going to hug next time we see each other. And
we're going to have coffee in an undisclosed location, and only Brian Lamb's friend is going to get photos.
Do you guys want to talk about any of the other news? I mean, is there anything else? Just kind of flipping through it. The HTC Vision, it's a code name that came out. Possible WVGA slider, maybe a Sidekick sort of Android device, we'll see. We got a whole bunch of updates at the end of last week after the last podcast. The Sprint Hero now has its 2.1 update. Actually, that just came this week, didn't it? Samsung Moment has its update. The Droid Air, Jerry, you ripped that down. Has that situation gotten any better?
No, I mean, it's... probably a miscommunication that got out of hand.
Rehash again what the problem was there. What was the issue?
Well, the official notice from Verizon said it would include a lot of things that it didn't. Anybody that had been watching the development would have known that it wasn't going to include any of these things. That doesn't excuse Verizon for putting it in print out on the internet saying you're going to get live wallpapers, you're going to get 3D gallery, yada, yada, yada. And none of it appeared, and it caused a lot of grief and consternation.
Yeah, I'm used to that with ROM updates. Here's an interesting story that Renee will get a kick out of. So we got some video and some pictures of what was basically a Sprint Hero, but it had Cox, as in Cox Cable, Cox branding all over the ROM, right? And it was running on a Cox network. And it turns out it's this test device that somebody bought off Craigslist. He was just trying to get a cheap phone for a friend of his, he says. And so he bought it off Craigslist. And the more I talked to him, you know, the more it started to feel real, and we posted it up. So I get an email the other day, and he's like, dude, so some Cox people showed up at my house, and they bought the phone back from me, which, you know, I guess they probably didn't have to do. So they gave him some money for it. But he says they knew everything about me when they got there. It's what? iPhone.
Yeah.
iPhone.
Someone left it at a bar, didn't they?
Yeah, I was going to say, at least they didn't kick his door down with a warrant.
It's like, oh, that's eerily similar. I don't want to be getting anybody in trouble. What do you guys think? We made a slightly big deal about this Android Launcher Pro. It's in beta, but it's almost rendered moot by a Froyo, and that we get a little phone icon down on the bottom now and a little browser icon along with the launcher. That kind of renders that moot. Sorry, guys. That was a cool little launcher. I liked it for the 10 minutes I used it. You guys got anything else? Should we wrap it up?
I'm good.
Sounds good.
I think you've got it covered.
The stuff since Mickey is on a different connection.
I can read it if you want. I can.
Well, it's just not going to sound good.
Man.
Mickey can read it. Mickey feels left out. Mickey can read it.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, send us an email, podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 888-468-6158, extension 222. And you can hit us all up on Twitter at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I'm at TCPJ, and I don't remember off the top of my head because I'm not reading it, but I think Renee is at Renee Ritchie.
Yep.
And Jerry is... Yeah, I don't know, Jerry. You're going to have to say it. I don't know.
At GBHIL.
And the entire show is brought to you by the Android Central Store, which can be found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also reach them at 888-468-6158.
Sweet. And we're not going to get to the voicemails and emails this week, guys. We just had too much Froyo and Google I.O. news. But if you want to leave a voicemail, Mickey, how do you do that?
You can leave us a voicemail. If you didn't catch that number, 888-468-6158, and then just throw in extension 222.
Or you can record it and email it to us. That's cool, too. Sounds better. Sounds awesome when you do that. So, there you go. Thank you, Mickey. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you very much, Renee, for coming. You had a kind of unique position in that you've been following all this anyway, and a lot of it's kind of coming or not coming to the iPhone.
We'll see. It's going to be a great year, Phil.
I'm excited for all of this. I think we got a lot of good stuff. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back again live next week. See you later. Everybody say bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later. Yeah, all right, everybody's ready. You guys are seriously drinking every time we say Evo? That's awesome.
Evo, Evo, Evo.
While you were gone, we decided that I am too. So.
Some things I just can't stop.
The code word is Froyo. Froyo.